That would be to tie everything back to Calvary. Now that's a form of modern kinds of teaching. Everybody wants just to take it back to Calvary. This is not just Calvary. And the record doesn't say that he just saw a lamb slain. It was something quite different. Now would you just have a look at this, because it is just simple, careful reading. You might be saying to me, Brother Harry, you know, you've said quite a lot of things, and I'd like to think that the elders were what you said. You follow the record and have a look at the elders, and you'll be quite certain that what I've said is the picture. They are sitting on thrones. I know the word is seats in the Authorized Version. The word is thrones. You just check it against any other version. And they've got crowns on their head. These elders are on a throne and they're crowned. It's the time of the kingdom. Here are the thrones of David, right from the Psalm. So it's only careful reading, and it isn't complicated reading. Don't be afraid of the book. Let it speak. Loosen it out, step by step. Let's do that with the lamb then, shall we, in chapter 5. Now just look at this very carefully. In verse 5 of chapter 5, he is looking for the lion. And there, when he turns round in verse 6, he sees in the midst of the throne and of the living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb as it had been slain. All right? Now that would be just careless reading, because it doesn't say that. It says, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now lambs of the slain don't stand up. As a matter of fact, the verb here is in the present tense, standing. This is the resurrected lamb. It's the resurrected lamb. It isn't just Calvary. We're not saved just by Calvary, are we? We are saved by his resurrection, Romans 4. It's the two things. Without the resurrection, Calvary would have been nothing except suffering. But when the two come together, it is victory in Christ. So what we have now is a picture of a risen Christ. He who was slain is now risen. And there's a very interesting little point here. I was studying Revelation chapter 5, and for those of you who have been reading the Christadelphian, there's been an article on the red heifer. It started in June, and it's in July as well. And the author of that article arrived at Rome, at Revelation chapter 5, from his study of the red heifer. I was doing Revelation chapter 5 and arrived at the verse that he was quoting from the letter to the Hebrews. And I'll tell you what the verse is. And it is this. And if you haven't got the article in the Christadelphian, get hold of it and read it this month. And read the one last month together. It's a wonderful presentation of the red heifer. You know that verse in the letter to the Hebrews, that we can approach by a new and living way. You remember that verse? You remember it well, I'm sure. You have a look at the word new in your concordance, and you will discover that it means freshly slain. You never have guessed that, would you? You would never have guessed it. Freshly slain and living. A lamb that was slain standing. And those two verses go together. So what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is this wonder of Christ who was the lamb. In the first chapter, he's described as having hair like wool. And that was to tell us that he was the lamb of God. And now here he is being presented as the lamb who is the victor. And he's a victor by dying and by being raised from the dead. And now he is the redeemer of David. He is indeed the root and offspring of David, and by him, Christ, David will be raised from the dead to inherit everlasting life. Just our final point then, because this is where we started. There is glory for Christ, and that's in verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We sang that, didn't we? Glory and blessing be ever ascribed to thee, uncreate unity, Father of all. And that glory is now shared with Christ. And we say, you can't do that because it says, my glory will I not give to another. He's not given it to another. He's made the other one with himself. And it's the same glory now in Father and Son. And it will be the same glory when the saints are finally glorified. Not another glory. They will have been made one with Christ, who is one with God. So that finally, and after the millennium, when all is complete, God will be all and in all. No wonder then that everything which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto the Lamb, and unto him that sitteth upon the throne forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever.
Certainly each one would like to thank Brother Tennant for his exposition this evening. As I'm sure in each one of our minds things are a little clearer regarding the glory. We have two announcements, brethren and sisters. The conclude this evening's service then, singing hymn 242, after which we will have a concluding prayer. Hymn 242. When shall we join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne? 10,000,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one.
Exalted thus.
merciful and loving Heavenly Father, as we stand before Thee this evening, giving Thee praise as the Almighty Lord of all, giving Thee thanks for this hour spent around Thy Word, dispel the darkness from our minds. Teach us how we should walk and what we should do this week. And as we stand before Thee this evening, some with troubled and some with occupied minds, some strong in faith, some of us weak in spirit, but each of us trying to find the right path, we pray that each one of us may have the submissive minds and willing hearts, that we each may patiently toil each day as we work our way toward Thy kingdom. If we are troubled with some problems during our daily life, may we each have the assurance of Thy presence, so that we may not become discouraged or restless in the way of truth. We would ask that Thou would, in Thy grace, pardon and cleanse us from our sins. Purify our hearts that we may see more clearly the way of truth. And if we are discouraged or cast down, give us the courage to rise up and rebuild our lives. We would turn to Thee, our Heavenly Father, in all things, and ask and give Thee praise, all honor and glory, through Thy Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
And our last item, brethren and sisters, if you would care to take your hymn books, is hymn 224. The choir will sing verses 1 and 2 to the tune Coronation. The choir will then sing verses 3 and 4 to the tune Diadem, the second tune in our hymn book. And we shall all join together in the last verse, verse 5.
Oh, Lord Most High, Thou who hast in Thy wondrous mercy revealed Thyself to us, that we might sing unto Thee with our hearts and with our voices, that all of us together as one might blend our parts to give Thee praise. We draw near to Thee through our beloved Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the good news has reached us, even the glad tidings concerning the kingdom of God and salvation in Thy beloved Son. And we praise Thee that here in this distant place, so large a place and yet so far from that small land, Thou hast brought us together and hast taught us Thy truth, that our hearts might be knit to Zion through Zion's King and through Zion's God. O gracious Lord, we praise Thee and magnify Thy holy name, for this is Thy work, O Lord, and Thou hast done it. Gracious Father, receive the offerings of our praise and the unspoken prayers of every heart here. And as our Bible school comes to its end and we think but of the breaking of bread together and then our farewells, we pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt go with us, that the melody in our hearts of this week may bear us up and take us onward toward Thy kingdom. Purge from us, we beseech of Thee, all vain thoughts and every kind of earthliness, we beseech of Thee, and help us to have a love for that time that shall be, meanwhile walking in the footsteps of Him who has already attained unto life eternal. Father, we pray unto Thee, have mercy upon the little children, those who have been brought here by their parents or by guardians. Be near to them, we pray. We thank Thee that Thou hast preserved them from great ill this week. We ask that Thou keep at bay that wickedness which flows from our world. And do Thou set their feet in a sure place, that they might come to learn of Thee. And when we are gone, if our Lord remains away, that they may replace us in a sure faith. Bless our young people, our Heavenly Father. We are greatly encouraged by their presence. We pray that they, too, may be directed and helped by the things concerning Christ Jesus our Lord, which this week they have learned. And bless us all that we may so comport ourselves that other people may know that we indeed have been with Jesus. Be with us then for the rest of this evening in our happiness, in our hymn singing, in our fellowship, and finally in our rest. Bless those who must travel early tomorrow and go with them on their way. Be with those who come to the breaking of bread, that the bread indeed and the wine indeed may bring to remembrance all that has been done. And finally, when we leave this place, O Lord, we beseech of Thee that some memory of us may remain here, that others may inquire what it was and why it was that thus we came. And now, O Lord, we offer Thee our praise and our thanksgiving, and lift up our hearts and beseech Thee, remember Zion, O Lord. Remember all Thy promises, we pray, for as watchmen upon her walls, we cry unto Thee and will let Thee have no rest until Thou finally make Zion both a joy and a praise in all the earth, and send soon her King, that, O Lord, we may see Him and acclaim Him as Lord of lords and King of kings, and through him, offer to thee our praises. With hearts and voices we beseech of thee, then immortal before thee, that our praise may be unsullied and perfect and eternal. For in Christ Jesus our Lord, we ask this great blessing. Amen.